This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Wa afdalu salati wa tammu taslimi ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman wa fiqhan fi d-dini ya rabbal alameen. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah that enabled us to come to this masjid tonight, alhamdulillah, and be a part of his mention and the mention of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn and to continue on learning the history of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have started the last session, alhamdulillah, the subject of al-adab, or the manners, akhlaq al-sahaba, the behavior, the manners of the Sahaba al-kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And we started some of their attributes that are related to their dealing with others. And we started the subject of at-tawadu', which is the humbleness, the humility of the Sahaba al-kiram radiallahu alayhim ajma'in. So inshallah, we will try to finish that today and go on into further attributes, further manners of the Sahaba, further akhlaq or adab of the Sahaba kiram radhiyallahu alayhim. On the subject of at-tawadu, the humbleness, which is the exact opposite of the arrogance, boastfulness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in hadith Qudsi, and a hadith narrated on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he said, thank you. قال الله تبارك وتعالى الكبرياء ردائي والعظمة إزاري فمن نازعني واحدا منهما قذفته في النار. This is narrated in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الكبرياء, pride is my garment, والعظمة إزاري, and greatness is my belt. Whoever try to get one of them away from me, I will throw him in the hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the first sin that ever committed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first disobedience that is ever recorded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was based on arrogance, was based on boastfulness. As we studied the last session, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his orders to the angels to prostrate to Adam, after he created Adam, and he blew his spirit into Adam, alayhi salat wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam, and they all prostrated except Iblis. Iblis disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first sin, the first disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why that happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf asked Iblis when he did not prostrate, قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك. What prevented you, what stopped you from prostrating as I ordered you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Iblis, and Iblis answered, قال أنا خير من. He said, I am better than him. I am better than Adam. This I am better than someone, is boastfulness, is the arrogance that Islam and the religion of Islam recommends against, and strongly forbids that arrogance to go into the heart of a human being. Iblis said, أنا خير من خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. You created me out of fire, you created him as out of mud, thus I am better than him. And the arrogance can go into three levels in a human being. It goes into the heart when somebody truly believes that he or she is better than somebody else. That is arrogance. Whether that is feeling that someone is better than, one is better than the other based on more wealth, more property, more belongings, more prosperity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on the slave in the first place. And the second, it can be for more knowledge, more ways to attain knowledge, or more gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow on his slaves. And it can be for sometimes, as we see in these prejudice and people that feel that they're better than others because of their skin color, because of their national origin, because of their social status. All of that feeling that someone is better than another is boastfulness, is arrogance, is kibriya. It is against the khuluq of at-tawadu. And that settles in the heart. That is the first level and the most important level of arrogance. The second is to show into actions. When somebody show in their actions, their arrogance against others. And the third is what shows in the tongue, with what they say, to show the arrogance, to make people feel that they are little, that they are lower than them in status or in attributes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He ordered him to be humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and lower your wings in humbleness for those who follow you of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first, when He is given His tarbiyah, when He's giving His instructions to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, lower your wings in humbleness to those who follow you of the believers. And on the in the Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Iyad ibn Himar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُوا حَتَّى لَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَبْغِيَ أَحَدٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me for you to show humbleness. So nobody can be arrogant or boastful over the other. Nobody can be proud on the expense of others, and nobody can transgress over another. Because when someone feels that they're better than other, then they can easily commit transgression against those who they feel that they are lower than them in status. And Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasat sadaqatun min mal, wa ma zad Allahu 'abdan bi'afwin illa 'izza, wa ma tawada'a ahadun lillahi illa rafa'a." This hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no time that a slave humble himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the status of this slave. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by showing humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to others, to your brothers and sisters and other people in the society, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate that person in status. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the example of humbleness. With his family, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, and this is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, she was asked, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in his house? And she said, كان يكون في مهنة أهله يكون في مهنة أهله فإذا حضرت الصلاة يتوضأ ويخرج إلى الصلاة. They asked her, what was the situation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house? What did he do in his house? He said, he was busy serving his family. He was busy doing things, doing chores and affairs for his family. And when it's time for the salah, then he will make ablution and he will go for the salah. And also on the authority of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, in the Sahih, in the Kitab al-Tirmidhi, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخصف نعله ويخيط ثوبه وَيَعْمَلُ فِي بَيْتِهِ كَمَا يَعْمَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. She is describing the best of creation. She's describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, he used to fix his own shoes, and he would sew his own clothes, his own garments. If something happened to it, then he would repair it. And then he would work in his house like any other human being work in his house. And then on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu in Musnad Ahmad, he said, مَا كَانَ شَخْصٌ أَبَدَّ الصَّحَابَةِ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. He said, مَا كَانَ شَخْصٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He said, there's nobody that is more beloved to their hearts than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَكَانُوا إِذَا رَأَوْهُ لَمْ يَقُومُوا لَهُ. But when they see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they would not rise, they would not stand up. لِمَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِنْ كَرَاهِيَتِهِ لِذَلِكَ. Because they know that he hates for them to show that to him. He hates for his companions to stand up when he walks into the majlis, into the place. And on the Bukhari, also in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم فإنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. He said, don't elevate me, don't exaggerate in my status like the Christians did with Isa, with Jesus عليه السلام. But I am a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say he is the slave of Allah and he is his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Tabarani, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of humbleness, he would sit on the floor, he would eat on the floor, and he would milk his own sheep, his own goat. And when somebody invites him, he would respond, even if it is for a loaf of oat, so it's a loaf of rough bread. And he also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari that he was a shepherd, and he said, كُنْتُ أَرْعَاهَا أَرْعَى الْغَنَمْ عَلَى قَرَارِيطَ لِأَهْلِ مَكَّةِ. He said, I used to mind sheep for a few, basically what qarariit is, just a very little money for the people of Mecca. And on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبَرٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will not enter paradise that who has in his heart one atom of arrogance, one little weight of arrogance. And one man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. He feared for himself. He said, the man likes to wear good clothes, wear beautiful clothes, and to wear good shoes. Is that arrogance? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and He loves beautiful things. It's not, good appearance is not arrogance. وَلَكِنَّ الْكِبَرِ, but the arrogance as described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. He said, to deny the truth, to deny the right things, and to belittle the affairs of other people, to look down on other people. This is the arrogance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we said, was the example of arrogance. And one time, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he felt the presence of the Prophet, and he was taken by the waqar, by the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he started shivering in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, هَوِّنْ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَخِي, take it easy. فَلَسْتُ فَإِنِّي لَسْتُ بِمَلِكٍ, I'm not a king. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بْنُ مْرَأَةٍ مِّنْ قُرَيْشْ تَأْكُلُ الْقَدِيدِ. I am a son of a woman of Quraysh that used to eat dried meat, the meat jerkies. That she said, my mother is an ordinary woman and I am not a king. So take it easy. Don't shiver in front of me. And he was the best of creation, no doubt, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the authority of Al-Bayhaqi, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, he said, دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وذقنه على راحلته متخشعة. Then Anas said, Ibn Malik said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم walked into Mecca on the best day for Islam, when the day of the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was victorious going into the city that he was expelled from, and his head was lowered in humbleness, and his beard was touching the back of his camel out of humbleness as he was walking. He did not go into Mecca boasting his victory and showing the people that persecuted him and transgressed against him and his companions for years and years and killed many of them and they fought against them, that now it is time for the reckoning, now it is time for punishment. He came to Mecca with his head lowered out of humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who bestowed the victory upon him. And on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time in the marketplace, and he said, "Dakhaltu yawman as-suqa ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fajalasa ila al-bazzazin fashtara sarawila bi-arba'ati darahim, wa kana li ahli as-suq waz-zan, faqala lahu zan wa arjih, wa akhadha Rasulullah as-sarawil, fadhahabtu li ahmila an, faqala sahibu ash-shay' أحق بشيئه أن يحمله إلا أن يكون ضعيفا فيعجز عنه فيعينه أخوه المسلم." Abu Huraira said, "I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We went into the marketplace. So he went to the people that will that sell clothes. So he bought something that's similar to pants today with 4 dirham. But the story is that he said, I went and I wanted to carry what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought for him. I didn't want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry the stuff that he bought out of respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, I am the one who will carry these things. صَاحِبُ الشَّيْءَ حَقُّ بِشَيْئِهِ أَنْ يَحْمِلَهُ." The owner of these things is the one that is more worthy to take, to carry these things, unless he is a weak man. Then his brother can help him. He said, "I am strong enough to carry my own things that I bought." So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Abu Huraira, who was one of the Ahl al-Suffa, Abu Huraira, his status among the Sahaba, he was a poor man, he was a man that is lived by the masjid on the Suffa, on the little place near to the masjid, and he was considered in the society by the dunya standard a very weak, very poor man. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not let him carry his stuff for him. He said, "I am strong enough to carry it for myself out of humbleness." So that was the example for the Sahaba. How did the Sahaba take these lessons and how did they carry it out in their lives? First, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now, humbleness, brothers and sisters, show itself when someone is weak and beaten down or poor. It's when somebody is in a place of authority. So that's why the examples that we will bring out of the Sahaba, to show how they got the lessons of humbleness when they were in a place of authority, when they were in a place of leadership. The first man after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that took leadership of the affairs of this ummah was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And when the first thing that he did after he took the bay'ah is he stood on the minbar and he gave his address. He gave his speech, the 1 minute that actually summarizes what a good leader can do to lead the nation, to lead the ummah to the best status that it can be. But the first thing that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "Ayyuha an-nas, وَلِّيْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ." He said, "Oh people, I was given authority over you, but I am not the best of you." And he was the best of them. There is no doubt that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the best of the Sahaba, as addressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time and time again. But yet, out of humbleness, first thing he did, and when he took the place of authority, the place of leadership, he said, "أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ وَلِّيْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي." He said, "If I do good, then help me. But if I don't do good, then straighten me out. Then straighten me out." Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, the second successor of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one time after the conquest of Persia, after the conquest of Byzantium, he called people to a meeting, to a gathering meeting in the masjid, as-salatu jami'ah. And the people came to the masjid. فَلَمَّا اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ وَكَثَرُوا, then all people came to the masjid. When they call as-salatu jami'ah to the masjid, it's for something serious, something like declaring war, like something of great importance. So people came to the masjid, so he came out to the minbar. And حمد الله وأثنى عليه. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وصلى على نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال. And then he said, "أيها الناس, O people, لقد رأيتني أرعى على خالات لي من بني مخزوم فيقبضن لي القبضة من التمر والزبيب فأظل يومي وأي يوم ثم نزل." He gathered all these people and he got on the minbar and he said, "Oh people, I used to be a shepherd for my aunts, for my aunts of Makhzum." Oh, this is the clan that he came from. "And they will pay me a fistful of dates and raisin. And that was what I did when I was young." And he came down off the minbar. So people were surprised by what, why he did this. Why he was showing people that he had this poor job and he was poorly paid for it. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu came to him. He said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ma zidta ala an qamma'ta nafsak." He said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, you did nothing but you belittled yourself from this meeting, this gathering. You just belittled yourself." And he said, "Wayhaka ibn Auf, let me tell you what happened, ibn Auf." He said, "Inni khalawt, I was by myself. فَحَدَّثَتْنِي نَفْسِي, so myself started giving me, started inspiring me. فَقَالَتْ أَنْتَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, you are Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are the leader of the Muslims. فَمَنْ ذَا أَفْضَلَ مِنْكَ, who is better than you?" So he felt that some arrogance may creep into his heart. And he said, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُعَرِّفَهَا نَفْسَهَا, I wanted to show myself who myself really is. Is just a shepherd that used to work in Mecca for a fistful of dates and raisins. And that was the humbleness of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And also Umar ibn al-Khattab, one time, on a hot day, he was out and he wanted a ride. So he saw a young boy on his donkey, on his jackass, going back to Medina. And he said, "Ya ghulam, uhmilni ma'ak, would you give me a ride?" It's a young boy, and he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the leader of this nation. So this young boy, out of respect to Umar ibn al-Khattab, jumped off the back of his donkey. فَوَثَبَ الْغُلَامُ عَنِ الْحِمَارِ فَقَالَ اَرْكَبْ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, go on Amir al-Mu'mineen, get on this donkey. And then he said, "لَا اِرْكَبْ وَأَرْكَبُ أَنَا خَلْفَكَ, no, you go, you stay on your own donkey, and I will ride behind you." Now, The front place on a donkey is the most comfortable. The back is the one with the bones. The back is the rough ride. So Umar ibn al-Khattab rode in the back. And he said, تَحْمِلُنِي عَلَى الْمَكَانِ الْوَطِيءِ, don't put me on the soft place. وَتَرْكَبْ أَنْتَ عَلَى الْمَوْضِعِ الْخَشَنِ, and you ride on the rough place. So Umar ibn al-Khattab rode on the rough spot on the donkey, and he let the boy ride on the soft spot. And that was of the humbleness of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Uthman ibn Affan, the third successor after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is narrated in Ibn Sa'd and Ahmed and Ibn Asakir. He said, كان Uthman radiallahu anhu يلي وضوء الليل بنفسه. Uthman ibn Affan, as we know, was a wealthy man. He had wealth before Islam, and he had more wealth after Islam, and he was one of the great charity giver in Islam. And in his khilafah, he also had servants and he had slaves and he was wealthy. And then he was also an elderly man in his khilafah. He was in his late 70s and early 80s when he was a khalifa. So he was not only a very wealthy man, he was also a man needing physical help if he can get it and he could afford it. But this, all these books narrate one thing, that Uthman ibn Affan, when he gets up to pray at night, he would do his own wudu. Now wudu in the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba is a somewhat of a chore. There is no faucets that you can turn and water would come. There is a heavy pot, heavy bowl that you need to carry, and somebody need to help you with the wudu to make your wudu. But Uthman would do all of that by himself. And he was told, لو أمرت بعض الخدم, if you ask one of your servants, then they would help you. He said, إِنَّ اللَّيْلَ لَهُمْ يَسْتَرِحُونَ فِي, the night is for them to rest. And I can do my own qiyam. I can do my own wudu. And that was just to show the humbleness of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. And the stories are many. But inshallah, this shows us the importance of this manner, the importance of this adab of at-tawadu, humbleness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a large space between us and arrogance, and to make us as much as possible far from being arrogant in our hearts, in our actions, and in our tongue. Ameen. The second thing that we will inshallah talk about today is the understanding between Sahaba of the brotherhood in Islam and the rights of one brother to another brother in Islam. And I will start with that one hadith. That one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that narrates, and we narrated that before, we spoke of that hadith before, but it is a summary of what are the rights of one Muslim over the other Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحاسدوا لا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره التقوى ها هنا التقوى ها هنا التقوى ها هنا بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, said in this beautiful hadith to the Muslims so they can regulate the affairs and the manners among them. He said, لا تحاسدوا, do not envy each other. Do not put the envy between you and your brother and sister. ولا تناجشوا, do not lie and cheat each other. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, don't turn your backs towards each other. Means don't have animosity, don't have enmity between you and your brothers and sisters. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, again, do not dislike each other. Do not have hatred towards each other. وَلَا يَبِيعُ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ, he said, do not have competition and selling goods to each other in an unlawful way. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَا, and be brothers and sisters to each other. الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ, a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, meaning Muslim is also Muslima is the sister of a Muslima. This is the same thing. In Arabic, when you speak of a gathering, you use the masculine form, but you mean both. And Muslimu akhul Muslim, a Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. La yazlimuh, do not transgress over another Muslim. Wa la yakhdhuluh, and do not turn down another Muslim when he's asked for help. Wa la yahqiruh, and do not belittle the affair of another Muslim. At-taqwaha huna, have piety here. Piety is here in the heart. And he pointed to his heart three times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, enough evil for one Muslim to belittle another Muslim, to look down on another Muslim. And then he said, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٍ, the entire affairs of one Muslim is sacred towards another Muslim. His blood, the blood of a Muslim is sacred, the money, وَمَالِهِ, belonging of a Muslim is sacred, وَعَرْضِهِ, and the honor of a Muslim is sacred. That is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated. And the Sahaba al-Kiram, the Sahaba ridwanullahu alayhim, understood this. And there is more instructions from the Quran, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Muslims are brothers to each other. إنما المسلمون إخوة. There is true brotherhood. There is true fraternity. You know, this is a relation that is above the biological brotherhood. It's above the biological links, the kinship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. This is more important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is documenting that in the Quran. He said, إنما المؤمنون إخوة. Muslims are brothers. The believers are brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, rectify the affairs between your brothers. Make sure that there is no enmity between your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and fear Allah. You may have mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then continues Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. All you who believe, avoid suspicion towards your brothers and sisters in Islam. Avoid suspicion. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Some of this suspicion is a sin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy. Do not spy against each other. Do not follow the false and flawed of each other. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not backbite each other. Do not speak ill of your absent brother and sister. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother and sister? And you hate it? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. And fear Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repenting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. And the scholars said that this similitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for backbiting by eating the flesh of a dead person is because when someone commits this sin, this great sin of backbiting, he leaves no room for the other person that is being bit, that is being backbit, to defend himself or herself. It's like attacking a dead person that have no defense whatsoever. Because if somebody is absent, they cannot defend themselves. They cannot show their excuses. They cannot tell you what you are saying, what you're saying is wrong or right. And that is attacking somebody who is totally defenseless, like attacking and eating the flesh of a dead person. And the other goal, the other issue of this similitude, of this example, is the ugliness of this cannibalism, of eating the flesh of another human being, which is a disgusting act. As much as backbiting is disgusting in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Al-Hujurat, He prevented Muslims, He ordered Muslims not to make fun of each other, not to make a laugh on the expense of another Muslim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرُ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكون خيرا منهن. Or you who believe, do not let a group of people make fun, make a laugh on the expense of other. They may be better than them, and not women against make fun of other women as they may be better than them. ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم. And do not be sarcastic. Do not be sarcastic when you deal with each other. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not throw nicknames that are ugly or not respectful towards each other. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. Do not call each other offensive nicknames. Indeed, these are the worst names after the names of the believers. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And those who do not repent, they are the true transgressors. So the Sahaba understood these instructions. They made that their way of life. Respect each other, love each other, protect each other's back when somebody is absent, and correct each other when somebody deviates from the right path. And we will narrate, inshallah, some of the stories that are reported in the hadith books and the history books about these manners and this adab of the Sahaba. One time, Abu al-Hasan, and he was one of the Ansar, and this is narrated in At-Tabarani, and he was one of the people that were in the Bay'ah of Aqaba and in the Battle of Badr. Abu al-Hasan radiallahu anhu said, كنا جلوسا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقام رجلا ونسيا عليه فأخذهما رجلا فوضعها تحته. He said, we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, so one man walked away and he left his shoes in the place. So one man took the shoes and hid them, wants to play a joke on his brother. And the man came back and he said, Ma'ali, where is my shoes? فقال القوم ما رأيناهما. We don't know where they are. So they were laughing, they were having a little practical joke, a prank on this Sahabi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. And then after they laughed and they made the prank on him, they started laughing, and the Prophet ﷺ prevented them, and he said, فَكَيْفَ بِرَوْعَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. What do you do with this distress that he was in? This distress, he was distressed, he thought he lost his shoes, this may be an important issue for him. He said, that is something that you would be asked for in the Day of Judgment. This distress that you put your brother in by playing this prank, this joke, put him in some type of distress, he said, this is haram, this is a sin. He said, فَكَيْفَ بِرَوْعَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And the man said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا صَنَعْتُهُ لَعِبًا. Rasulullah, I was only joking. And the Prophet ﷺ repeated, فَكَيْفَ بِرَوْعَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. What do you do with the distress of your brother? You caused distress to your brother. This is no joke. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ would teach his Sahaba. And then he said, لا تروع المسلم فإن روعة المسلم ظلم عظيم. Do not put your brothers in distress. It is indeed a great transgression. Even if the intention is somewhat innocent, just to want to play a practical joke on your brother or sister, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is dhulm. This is a transgression. Do not put your brother or sister in a state of distress." And the Sahaba learned how not to belittle each other, no matter what happened. One time, it is narrated that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari and Bilal were having a heated argument. And they were arguing with each other. And Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and they're both great Sahaba. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari got angry and he called Bilal a name. And he said, Yabna Sawda, you son of a black woman. And Bilal stopped and he said, Li ashkwannaka ila Rasulillah, I will tell Rasulullah. And he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتُعَيِّرُهُ بِأُمِّهِ إِنَّكَ امْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. He said, this is a trace of ignorance. This is a trace of jahiliyyah. And that was enough for Abu Dharr. And Abu Dharr put his face on the ground, on the floor. And he told Bilal, he said, Wallahi, I will not lift my face until you step with your own foot over my face. He wanted to humble himself in front of Bilal. And to give Bilal the right to step over his face so he could be forgiven from the word that he said to Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhuma jamia. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the Sahaba, he taught him not to curse each other and not to call each other names. It's like the instructions that we heard in Surah Al-Hujurat. One time, and this is in Al-Bukhari. This is in Sahih Al-Bukhari on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man called Abdullah. And this man used to drink alcohol, drink wine, drink khamr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a mu'min, but he would do this and he would be brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would get his punishment and he'll go back to drinking again. And he will be brought back and he will get punishment and he will go back to drinking again. So the Sahaba were just disgusted with what Abdullah, and his nickname was Himar. They were disgusted with what he is doing. And then he was being whipped one day, punishment for his drinking, for his public drinking. And a man said, he said, Allahumma al'an, oh Allah curse him. Oh Allah curse him, because he's doing fama akthar ma yusabih. He's always here being punished. He's been repeatedly sinning this sin and he's not learning his lesson. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not curse him. Do not curse your brother. He said, for Wallahi, ma alimtu annahu yuhibbu Allah wa rasulahu. Wallahi, I know he loves Allah and his Prophet. He has a weakness. He has a problem. He has a drinking problem in our today's term. He said, don't curse him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la takunu lishaytani ala akhikum. قُولُوا اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِهِ. He said, do not be helper for the shaitan against your brother. But say, اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِهِ. Oh Allah, guide him. Oh Allah, help him. Don't say, اللَّهُمَّ curse him. Don't curse him. He said, اللَّهُمَّ help him. He said, this is how, don't be an ally to Iblis, to the shaitan against your brother by cursing him. Because that's what the shaitan wanted of this man, is to be cursed. Is to be kicked out of paradise like he was. And this was the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Musnad Ahmad, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that a man came to when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet was there. So the man started cursing Abu Bakr, started saying bad things to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr is being patient and he's listening. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is grinning. He's not saying anything. And then he continued and continued and continued. Then Abu Bakr got angry and he cursed the man back. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked away from that. Abu Bakr felt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being silent and he tolerated this man's ignorance against Abu Bakr. But when Abu Bakr just called them back some names, then the Prophet ﷺ walked away. And then he walked behind the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulallah, كان يشتمني وأنت جالس فلما رددت عليه بعد قوله غضبت وقمت. He said, O Prophet of Allah, when he was cursing me, he was saying bad words to me, you were sitting. But when I called him back, when I said bad words back to him, you got angry and walked away. What happened? And the Prophet said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَعَكَ مَلَكْ يَرُدُّ عَنْ. He said, when he was cursing you, there was an angel behind you responding to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not letting that go. He said, there was an angel, there was a malak next to you, and he was responding to that man, defending you. فَلَمَّا رَدَدْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَقَعَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When you started calling him back names, then Iblis came. Then a shaytan came. So, and shaytan is happy now. Two Muslims are calling names against each other. That's when the shaytan is happy. He said, that's why I left. When you started responding to his bad words. And there's this beautiful story on the rights of Muslims about how Muslims respect the privacy and the rights of each other. And this happened in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is in Kanz al-Ummal. This is in a very great book of Islamic history and really nice stories about especially the Sahaba, that Umar ibn al-Khattab used to go at night and check the affairs of his subjects, as we learned when we studied his khilafah. So he heard a man having a little party in his house. He heard the sounds of singing coming out of one house. So he knew something was not right. Something was happening in that house. So Umar radiallahu anhu got off the wall and got into that house, and he caught the man red-handed having that little party in his house. And he said, عَدُوَ اللَّهِ أَظَنَنْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْتُرَكْ وَأَنْتَ فِي مَعْصِيَةٍ. You thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will veil you while you're sinning in your house? And then the man said, وَأَنْتَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِ. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't hurry. Don't hasten to punish me. إِن كُنْتُ عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ وَاحِدًا. If I committed a sin, you committed three sins. يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَدْ عَصَيْتَ اللَّهَ فِي ثَلَاثٍ. He's telling Umar, came to his house, caught him red-handed in haram. He said, you committed three sins. I committed one, but you committed three. And Umar said, how? And the man said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تجسسوا, do not spy. And you spied on me. That's how you knew that I was having a party. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. You walked through the houses, through its doors, through the front door, and you jumped off the wall. You jumped off the wall to my house. وَدَخَلْتَ عَلَيَّ بِغَيْرِ إِذٍ. And you came upon into my house without my permission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَى أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you shall not enter houses that are not yours until you ask permission and you give salam to its owners. He said, you made three mistakes and I made one. And Umar said, فَهَلْ عِنْدَكَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَفَوْتَ عَنْكَ. Then would you do good if I forgive you? And the man said, نعم, I will not do the sin again. And Umar radiallahu anhu forgive him. This story just shows the importance, the respect for one's privacy in Islam, for the sacredness of the houses, the sacredness of the human being in this religion, even while they are committing sin in their own houses. On the authority of Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, that Uqba ibn Amir is a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, a man came to him and he said to Uqba ibn Amir, إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا جِرَانًا يَشْرَبُونَ الْخَمَرِ. My neighbors drink. My neighbors always drink wine, drink alcohol. وَأَنَا دَاعٍ لَهُمُ الشُّرْطَ لِيَأْخُذُوهُمْ. He said, I will call the police. And this was in the time of the later Khilafah. Uqba ibn Amir lived long into the Khilafah. He said, I will call the police so they come and take him. They come take him and punish them. And Uqba told that man, he said, لا تفعل. Don't do it. وَعِظْهُمْ. What did him? He said, just give him good advice, and if they don't listen, threaten them with the police, but don't call the police on them. And the man said, إِنِّي نَهَيْتُهُمْ فَلَمْ يَنْتَهُوا. I told them and they did not respond to me. And I'm going to call the police. وَإِنِّي دَاعٍ لَهُمُ الشُّرْطَةِ لِيَأْخُذُوهُمْ فَقَالَ عُقْبَى وَيْحَكَ لَا تَفْعَلْ Don't do it. Continue on giving them advice. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ سَتَرَ عَوْرَةً فَكَأَنَّمَا اسْتَحْيَى مَوْؤُودَةً فِي قَبْرِهَا Those who veil other people's fault, like they brought back a buried girl into life. You know those girls, the ma'uda that they used to bury them alive in Jahiliyyah, said like you revived one of them, like you saved one of them from this punishment. And Al-Bukhari, in Sahih Al-Bukhari, that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote a mission to Abu Darda. Abu Darda was in Dimashq. And he said, اكتب إلي فساق دمشق Write the names of the sinners in Damascus, in Dimashq. And Abu Darda, he said, ما لي ولفساق دمشق ومن أعرفهم How do I know the sinners in Dimashq? How do I know them? The son of Abu Darda said, أنا أعرفهم And he started writing names. He said, I know the sinners. And he started writing the names of the people that sin, drink, and do the, you know, the sins in Dimashq. So Abu Darda looked at his son, and he said, من أين علمت? How do you know that? ما عرفت أنهم فساق إلا وأنت منهم. He said, if you are not one of them, then you would not know who they are. If you're not their party buddy, then you would not know that who they are. He said, ابدأ بنفسك. Write your name among those names that you are writing. He said, then write your name, include your name in there. وَلَمْ يُرْسِلْ بِيَسْنَيْ And he did not send the names to Muawiyah. Abu Darda himself, رضي الله عنه, in Ibn Asakir, came upon a man that the people of Damascus were around and they were cursing him because he committed a sin. And then he said, if you find this man in distress, in the bottom of a well, would you get him out? If you want to, can you save this man's life? If you think that his life is in danger, would you save this man's life? He said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوَجِدْتُمُوهُ فِي قُلَيْبِ أَلَمْ تَكُونُ مُسْتَخْرِجِهِ If you find this man in distress about, you know, would you help him? They said, yes, we would. He said, فَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَخَاكُمْ Do not curse your brother for the sin that he committed. وَأَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي عَافَاكُمْ But, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and praise Allah that you are not committing those sins. And they said, فَلَا تَبْغَضُ Don't you hate him? Don't you hate him for what he did? And Abu Darda said, إِنَّمَا أَبْغَضُ عَمَلَهُ I hate what he did, but I don't hate him for what he did. I hate the deed. I hate the sin that he committed, but I don't hate the man that committed the sin. فَإِذَا تَرَكَهُ فَهُوَ أَخِي When he leaves the sin, when he repents from this sin, he is my brother. These are the people that the Prophet ﷺ raised. And finally, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radwanullahi alayh, that he said that we were with the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, يَطْلِعُ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ A man of the people of paradise will be coming to you. This man that is coming to you is a man of paradise. فَرَجَعَ فَطَلَعَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ One of the Ansar came out. تَنْتُفُ لِحْيَتُهُ مِنْ وُضُوءٍ He just made wudu and his beard was full with water. وَقَدْ عَلَقَنَ عَلَيْهِ بِيَدِي الشِّمَالِ He's describing that he was carrying his shoes with his left hand. And then the next day, they were in the same place, and the Prophet ﷺ said, a man of paradise will come to you, and it was the same man of Ansar. And that happened again in the third day. Then when the Prophet ﷺ left, Amr ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah, son of Amr ibn al-As, followed this man. And he told this man, this Ansari, He said, and this Ansari was named in one, in Al-Bazar, his name is Sa'd, but it's not known really who exactly, which Sa'd he is. But this man was followed by Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Umar told him, إِنِّي لَا حَيْتُ أَبِي I have an argument with my father, فَأَقْسَمْتُ أَنِّي لَا أَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثًا And I made a vow that I will not go to my house, to the house of my father for 3 nights. Would you host me? فإن رأيت أن تأويني إليك حتى انضبني فعلت. Would you take me for 3 days? Abdullah ibn Umar wanted to be with him to see why is this man a man of paradise? Why is this man confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 days in a row that he deserved the gardens of paradise? And the man said, okay, fine, na'am. قال أنس, and Anas continued the narration, فكان عبد الله يحدث أنه بات معه الليالي الثلاث. Abdullah spent 3 nights with this man. فلم يره يقوم من الليل شيئا. He would not pray too long at night. غير أنه إذا تعار تقلب على فراشه ذكر الله عز وجل وكبر حتى يقوم لصلاة الفجر. He would just mention Allah and praise Allah in his bed, and then he would go and pray Fajr. And Abdullah said, غير أني لم أسمعه يقول إلا خيرا. Every time this man spoke, it's always something beautiful, it's always something nice, always his talk. He's not aggressive in the way he talks, he does not curse anyone, he does not say bad words. فلما مضت الثلاث, after the 3 days, وكنت أن أحتقر عمله, I belittled his work. I didn't see that he would read a lot of Quran or do a lot of siyam or do a lot of qiyam. He doesn't do all of these things too much. And then he came to him and he said, Ya Abdullah, my brother, my father and I had no problem, had no argument. He's now coming clean with the guy. And he said, وَلَكِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ 3 times saying that you are a man of paradise. And I just wanted to see, what are you doing? What do you do to deserve this status, to deserve to be a man of paradise? So I do exactly what you do. So the man became very happy by hearing this glad tiding from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتُ. This is what I do. I mean, he does his regular human being, Muslim, good Muslim deeds. And he said, مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتُ غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ غِشًّا وَلَا أَحْسِدُ أَحَدًا عَلَى خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He said, I have no hatred, no mischief towards any of the believers in my heart. My heart is clean. I love everybody, all the believers. I have no hatred against any of the believers. While I have no envy towards anyone for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them. I have no envy and I have no hatred or mischief towards anyone. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, هَذِهِ الَّذِي بَلَغَتْ بِكْ. That's what it is. That's how you became the man of paradise. So cleaning the heart and having the good manner, love the Muslim, made this man one of the people of paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow the path of the Sahaba and follow the akhlaq, the manners of the Sahaba, and make that an example for us and for our families, and make them a role model that we can walk after, and we can follow and apply that into our daily living. Ameen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa afdalu salati wa atammu taslimi ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We open for any. Yes, Brother Nabi, Jazakallah.
That hadith, is it Abdullah ibn Umar or Abdullah ibn Amr?
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al As, Jazakallah.
The hadith on.
3 types of questioning in Arabic language, and there is something called a su'al al istifhami, a question that you really need to know from. You need to know from the answer. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. The second type of question is al-istinkari. If you ask a question and you want to admonish somebody, you wanted to say, how did you do that? Or why did you do that? You know why and you know how, but you want just to scold them for that. And the third thing is called su'alul arif, the question of the one that knows, and usually is to show others. And this is that type, is when to ask Iblis to make Iblis himself a witness against himself, and to tell the rest of us what brought this sin, why he did this sin, why he committed this disobedience. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking Iblis, and Iblis himself answering that question, there is no doubt what brought on this disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Brother Nabil has something to say.
No. Rhetorical question. Which was
rhetorical, yeah.
The second one was Fir'aun.
Right. That's a stinkari. What is a stinkari in English? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Salah, children. Right.
Because when you say la Allah azami or la Allah ala ishtam, la ana itam min rahmah.
Jazakallah khair. Yes. Mercy of Allah. Yes.
But when you say la ana, translate, you know,
to curse.
The curse.
Right.
No, right. Curse. It doesn't fit.
Right. The comment that Brother Salah has making that the word la'na in Arabic has only one meaning. It's really a narrow meaning. It means nothing else when you say la'na. We translate that in speech as cursing, but it means somebody is kicked out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody may not receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That is the la'na. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a shaitan iblis mal'oon. He received this la'na. He's not going to receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And that's what the comment was about. So we have to conclude inshallah. One last comment. It's about next weekend. This Sunday. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.